Good evening and welcome. It's KVC Arts. Arts and entertainment, as well as the people and places providing it. I'm David Fleming. Tonight's program is conversation with and music from Steve Lukather, probably known best for his work with Toto. He has quite a few releases under his own name, and tonight we're exploring the latest. It's called I Found the Sun Again. We'll hear about the manner in which this was recorded, which was mostly one take with no rehearsals. And there were a lot of different feelings which accompanied this new release. Going into it, it was the second track which really got my attention, one called Serpent Soul, which could be a dedication to someone many of us have known. This is going to be primarily, of course, on I Found the Sun Again. With this second track, with Serpent Soul, it catches me because of how it starts off, almost like a New Orleans, like a second line sort of thing.
Yeah, well, I was going for a Little Feat kind of a thing, you know?
Ah.
The whole album is basically influenced by my early 70s favorite bands and stuff that I played when I was a kid, and homage to the artists that I love. But I picked the cover songs first to set the tone for what I wanted to write for the rest of the record, which is really being able to jam within the context of really good songs, not just jam record where it's boring solo, 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 solo. You know, some people like that, but I want everybody to be able to like it. Won't let you pull me down into the mud. Just another reason to say I'm done. Kind of record you put on the background, and you go, that's a cool record, who is that?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, you know, it requires a certain thing to get into it, you know, it covers a lot of ground, musically speaking.
Yeah, totally. And it has been an album that, you know, I love to look at these things as albums, that is, with this very linear flow and what started and followed what, but this is also one that I will go into the car and just fire up.
Really?
Welcome to the club, loudly.
Wow, really?
I'm really
flattered.
Oh, yeah. Well, it serves both purposes for me, and it's one that I've recommended to people just to go start to finish or to find the favorite thing and just turn it up loudly. So it's
Well, thank you. I could have put that on the record, but I've written that down.
Well, there's
you did for me.
We got the next track of the liner notes coming out.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if this is out there or if this is just something on the press release, but you stated, and here's the radio-friendly version of it, that a person can darn well figure out who the song is about. And,
well, you know, that could be a lot of people, man.
Yeah,
I had help with the lyrics there, you know, with Stan Lynch from Tom Petty and Heartbreakers helped me, yeah. With Joe Williams. We've all had people. We
yes.
all have people that pretend to be your friend and they're stabbing you in the back, you know?
Yeah, and I guess that's what I wanted to ask about, is that when the song was going together, if there was something that you found was too specific.
Yeah, well, you know, I've been through a lot of stuff in the last few years, man. It kind of creeps into the music.
You think I'm a snake in the grass, but
going to the first track, then, this one is more of a straight-out rock tune.
It was my tribute to The Who.
Oh, okay.
No, I give everybody credit on the record. I say thank you to Pete Townsend. Because in the middle, I was still all the way up until the tracking date, we were still rewriting.
Oh.
I was finishing the lyrics as I was singing them. You know, I did a song a day. I did the record in 8 days.
Oh, my God.
So I forced myself to do this, and we did no click tracks, no rehearsals, no demos. Here's a rough chart with some stuff on it, you know, and you play here, and let's run it down once and make sure the chart's right. We did that. We fixed a few things, rehearsed a few things, and then we went, let's do it. It was take two, and that was the whole record. That was how we did the whole record. It was the most satisfying thing I've ever done. Live solos, everything. I overdubbed the vocals and a few small overdubs the same day. Joseph did background vocals and helped me produce the vocals with me, with Ken. You know, we sat in the room and just did it. You know? I did it. I had to do it. I had to finish everything ready to mix one day. And that's what we did. So
really?
I'm really proud that it came out that way. You know, I cast the band as like a director would cast the film. You know, this would be great. This kind of music, he'd be great on this. And I got incredible musicians, you know, and they gave me their best. Set them free. You know, I just wanted, like I said, I wanted to jam in the context of really cool songs. I'm not trying to write the next top 40 hit single right now. You know?
Right. Well, and you know what? And that's one of the cool things about this is that you do totally abandon the 3.5 minute or whatever you have to do for some sort of pop.
Well, there's some on there, but I mean, I let songs go that were supposed to go.
Yes.
Songs like Bridge of Sighs. Which
oh,
is
my
like
God.
One take.
Mm.
And all I did was overdub the vocal at the end of it. I go, did you get that? You know, because it was just such a moment, you know? We captured it.
You mentioned an homage to The Who with the opening track.
Yeah, the opening cut, yeah. Along for the Ride. You know, the whole middle section. We had written the song. I had the riff and all that stuff. And we put the song together. And we need a bridge. And I go, well, you have to do something here. I don't want to necessarily hear a solo here, you know? Let's do something crazy, man. This is like a tribute to The Who. And so I said, look, Greg, loosen up here. And we'll play the figure. And then Babco in the session, live, just comes up with the exact Bob O'Reilly thing. You know
yes.
what I mean? With the sound, with the exact synth sound. I'm howling, laughing, going, like, this is incredible. And it's not the same chords, but it's the same sound. It has the fifths, and it has, if you notice, we take it into the ozone.
Mm-hmm.
It goes away from it. It's like, well, now Pete would never do that. But I thank Pete on the record. I go, thanks to him, inspired by Pete Townsend and The Who.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I got him. Jeez, you know.
Steve, that just really blew me away when I read that because I'd listened to and really digested the album and then read that portion about the fact that it was gathered almost like the Miles Davis, the kind of blues sessions where,
Bitches Brew.
Okay,
That, you know, where you just get guys in a room, hand out some music and go, let's see what happens.
Yes.
That's what we did. And I'm real proud of the fact that we did it that way, you know, because nobody does it that way anymore. I figured that's the only thing different I could bring to the party in 2021 is play it live. I certainly talk about it a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, the good old days, blah, 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 boring old man, right? I want to put my money where the mouth was, you know?
Yeah.
So we did that. And it's getting received really well, so I'm really happy about that.
It's a little bit cliche to say it's got something for everybody, but it does in a way. You know, between the opening track being this straight-out rock thing, and then going into just the third track in, you already get to one of the covers. I really think it's cool, by the way, that you did not bury the covers in the back. Like, here's my stuff, and here's the other stuff.
No. I
you put
to
it together
it
for
it
the flow.
The album tells a story if you play it from top to bottom.
Yeah.
A little bit. It's a loose story, but it still makes sense cohesively. It's about where I'm at musically in this day and age. If you see something that looks like a star, and it's shooting up out of the ground, and your head is spinning from loud guitar, and you just can't escape from the sound, don't worry too much, it'll happen to you. Children once playing with toys.
Well, you know, some of the songs, I was trying to figure out where the lyrics came from, and I'm not trying to say so specifically like who the person was, but the credits on the liner notes on this, it doesn't say like words, Lukather, music, Page, et cetera, et cetera.
No, we all helped. We all helped in all aspects, you know?
Well, with the low spark of High Heeled Boys, you alluded to this a second ago. Was this an album you just scooped up probably age 14 or so, and then was this just part of your repertoire in high school?
I played some of these songs when I was a kid, for sure. I mean, they were big influences on me, and I wanted to see what I could do with the material. And I got lucked out. I picked the right songs in the right band, the right time, the right engineer, and it just happened. You know, the stars lined up.
The Low Spark of High Heeled Boys. This was, again, true to the original, it clocks in at over 10 minutes in length, and so that is just fantastic. This is a great example, I suppose, of it, like you said, letting the song do what it's supposed to do, not trying to do something specific.
Yeah, well, nobody lets it do long fades and stuff like that. They don't have them anymore because it's all programmed. You can't program interplay.
Yeah.
You can't program people playing off of a lick and playing a fill or something like that. Something magic happens when that. Everybody flows with it and throws in a lick, and you just go, wow, that wasn't written. That was great.
right.
You know, a lot of improvisation on this record. Everybody put their stamp on it, their trademark stamp.
I'm David Fleming in conversation with Steve Lukather. Both he and Toto bandmate Joseph Williams released new albums on the same day at the end of February and play a significant role on each other's albums. We heard from Williams on the previous KVC Arts, and we'll hear about one from that album later this hour. The focus, though, is on Lukather. We'll have more just ahead. You're listening to KVC Arts on 91.9 KVCR, streaming at kvcrnews.org. Focus of tonight's program is on Steve Lukather. He's been the guitarist and vocalist with Toto since the band began in the mid-late 70s. He has numerous releases under his own name, and tonight we're hearing about the latest, called I Found the Sun Again. The album has a great blend of originals with a few covers of songs from the early 70s, representing some of Lukather's favorite bands and albums growing up. Being the consummate musicians they are, Toto has included some instrumentals on many of their albums over the years, and Lukather has done the same, including this album, with a beautiful tune composed by Jeff Babko, providing either organ, synth, or piano on the album, trading off with Toto founder and alum David Page. We'll hear that track in just a bit, though it makes sense to go into this next segment with one of Toto's instrumental tracks from a few years ago. This also is a cover from a Toto album, which was nothing but covers. So I was a Toto listener. You know, in the 80s, I discovered you guys probably around Hydra, something like that. I'm maybe just a few years younger than you. But then I, at some point after the Navy, drifted into public radio, and it was jazz. And that's when I started noticing you and the Porcaro brothers, also David Page, on all these various jazz records that I was playing, fusion.
Well, you
whatnot.
Know, we dabble. You know, we love it. I mean, I have a picture of me and Wayne Shorter and Herbie Hancock at the Tokyo Jazz Festival. Wayne has his arm around me, smiling. I'm going, wow, man, those are the heaviest cats in the world, man. And they know me. They're my friends. Hi, Wayne. Hey, Herbie. I saw Herbie at the TEC Awards not too long ago, gave him a big-ass hug. He's a wonderful man, you know. I got to work with him through Quincy and all that stuff when I was a session guy. And we've retained a friendship through the years. One of the finest musicians ever to walk Earth.
Yes. Herbie Hancock is one of those people that I can appreciate at the various levels or eras, if one might say, of him. But let's say back to your album, though. Is that,
yeah, no, it's cool. I mean, it's not part of my life.
Well, let's just stay there for a second then. With Toto, if there's any reason to pick up Through the Looking Glass, there's Maiden Voyage right there. And there's, I guess...
Oh, well, there you go. You are a fan, if you know that.
Well, yeah. As I mentioned, going into jazz, I started at one point looking at the Toto albums and your albums and really paying attention not so much to the songs, but things like Fall into Velvet, Transition, The Truth, Song for Jeff, basically the instrumentals and seeing what kind of things were going on there.
Wow.
I just jumped between a bunch of albums there between Toto and yourself, but...
Yeah.
So this basically live-to-tape almost session that became this album, you mentioned there was very little rehearsal.
No rehearsal.
Wow. So was it recorded start to finish as it appears on the album, or did you get these songs?
The running order was a little different. I don't remember what order we cut things in.
Okay.
Because we recorded it the month before the mandatory mask lockdown.
Okay.
So I was able to get everybody in the room still being human beings again without being wrapped in a hazmat suit or something.
Right. Oh, wow.
I had to mix the record that way, but that's a whole other story.
Yeah. I've spoken with several musicians that have been going through this, the last recording where they could still do maybe the elbow handshake kind of thing.
Yeah, and, I mean, the human contact, the high fives, the hugs. I mean, where is all that? Man, I miss it.
Oh, yeah.
I miss seeing people's faces smiling, not some mask-wearing head walking down the street.
Yep.
We just lost our human contact, and this experiment has really been... I mean, I've got kids at school and stuff still. You know, I got grown ones, and I got kids in school.
Yeah.
My daughter's 13, and she has no life. It's like, Zoom school?
Oh, my
God. This is the year you're supposed to blossom as a human being. You know, it's uncomfortable and first crushes and all that stuff. How do you do that on Zoom?
Right.
You know, this generation that lives through this is going to be deeply affected by it.
Yeah.
This ain't a drill, man. This is all happening for real. And that's what's really scary.
That was a shocker.
I never thought I'd live to see something like this.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. Joseph Williams put out With the Dream that addresses all the discoveries that we were thinking about. And I'm still wearing a mask with a phone stuck to my head.
Yeah, what I mean? With all the things we have,
We
can't fix a really nasty-ass flu. You know, it's the flu on steroids times 1,000, but it's not like a flesh-eating amoeba or something, you know? Let's get this thing, man. Come on, all the brilliant minds in the world, we can't do this? Put a man on the moon?
Right.
You know what I mean? You know, it's something that's not even considered life can kill us all. And it was supposedly man-made. Oops, who did that? Now, that's a conspiracy theory.
It is.
So
yes.
I'm not a QAnon guy, so don't worry about it. I'm just saying there's a lot of hypotheses about what, why, where, and when, and how.
Yeah,
questions
no,
not answered yet. Sort of brushed under the carpet. Okay, we got a new guy. Let's forget about that. Okay.
No, that's absolutely right. Oh, it's over.
I've been walking
around
my house for a year going, WTF, and,
Oh, yeah, I totally understand. I had Brian Hyland in the studio, and we were one of five people in the whole building. This was just a couple of months ago, so it was just amazing. Changed so much for so many.
Well, hey, man, hope is 2022 for live performance. At least I got music out now. You know, Joseph Williams, singer and Toto, and I both have solo albums out, same label, same day. We're going to work, new band. We're going to go out and play Toto hits, Toto deep cuts, and solo stuff, you know. And we're very excited about it. We got a live stream video coming out this summer. And plus, we're going to be able to do all this stuff, too, you know. So now we have product. Now we just got, I want to go play it live, man.
Yes, indeed, really.
I want to play live, man. I'm used to playing five nights a week for 2 hours hard. 200 and some days a year, and now it's like I practice in the morning, I play for a little while, and go, you know?
Wow.
I will get into deep training when I get the green light, believe me.
Oh, I'm sure.
Right now, I've tasted retirement, and I hate it.
Right. No, a lot of time gardening or something, I'm sure.
Oh, I've done that. Yeah. John got a garden, everything. Yeah. My girlfriend's a wonderful cook. We cook everything natural here, man, yeah. Do the best we can in the year of madness, or year two of madness.
I'm
atrophying.
Hoping.
My muscles are atrophying.
Oh, no. Well, you're somebody that needs...
Wow. I'm like, I'm half... I've lost a lot of weight. I'm half the man I used to be, which is not so bad. I look like a healthy old guy, I guess.
Well, there's that then. You know, we were talking about several instrumentals a second ago, and one of the songs on this, I was so thankful. I think before I even latched on to any of the songs, I scanned looking for instrumentals, and so I was really thankful when I found Journey Through.
Yeah, Babco wrote me this beautiful piece called Journey Through, man. It was sort of my homage to Jeff Beck and all that sort of stuff, you know. It's really a beautiful melody to play. When he gave me the music and I played it, I'm like, geez, this is so gorgeous. The chords and the melody just sing. And that's a live performance. That's one take. That was the take. There's no overdubs, nothing. When we were done, I was like, we got that, right? And it was like, everybody's like, man, that was incredible. Come in, listen. And basically came to listen to the playback, heard just the record. It was like, wow, we did that. One take. How about that? Good, guys. Us old guys still got something to give here, you know? Let me see the kids get in here and try that.
Yeah, come here, Trevor.
Here, guys, here's the music. You got 5 minutes. They were a cut.
My God.
It would separate the men from the boys immediately.
Yeah. You used to be able to do that as a session player when sessions existed. Yeah.
I did 20, 25 sessions a week. That to me was normal.
Wow.
So when people say stuff like, oh, we're going to tape, it's like, oh, really? Or like, oh, wow, this guy, she can really sing. I mean, really? I'm like, yeah, isn't that the job requirement? It's like saying, He's my doctor. He really is a great doctor. Like, wait a minute, man. I want the best cat, you know? Just like the title cut, I was quoted as saying, I found the sun again. It's the cross between Pink Floyd meets Christopher Cross meets Joni Mitchell and Def Leppard on acid.
Yes.
Something like that. So, I mean, like, that's a good metaphor for the whole record in the sense of that I just took all my influences and threw them against the wall and whatever came out is what the record is.
Wow. When I spoke with Joseph last week, Joseph Williams, I actually talked about acid on that one because of his video, Never Saw It Coming.
Well, he did the video for like $5 with an iPhone in my backyard. It was supposed to be cheesy.
Exactly.
Some people thought we were trying to be serious.
Oh, no.
And we're like going, this is a crappy video. Like, dude, I'm stuck in my house, man. What do you want me to do? We were having fun.
You're having a lot of fun. If people watch the video, there's a point where you forget there's the solo because you're kind of goofing around with Joseph at that point and then joining it
anyway. That was the Ringo tune. Yeah, it was in my backyard in the summertime.
That was Run to Me. Okay, yeah.
That was written for Ringo's 80th birthday. We couldn't have a party for him, so all the All-Stars made videos for him or wrote him a song or did something. So we did that, and it came out so good. He played on it.
Yeah.
He filmed that, so I said, can I put it out? He said, yeah. So I put it out in the summer. It's got like 600,000 hits, you know.
Oh, wow. I had no idea it went back that far.
Yeah, no, it made a noise. And, okay. And Joseph and I wrote Ringo's new single that's coming out on his new album. So I'm excited about that. I love the man. I mean, he just graced me with so much. You know, the Beatles is the reason why I play music. And now to be friends with him, you know. We're still really good buddies, man. You know, I mean, I miss playing with him every day. But we have a friendship, a real friendship in all this.
You're listening to KVC Arts on 91.9 KVCR, streaming at kvcrnews.org. I'm David Fleming. Let's go back now to my recent conversation with Steve Lukather. He and Toto bandmate Joseph Williams released albums and CDs on the same day. That was at the end of February, and play a significant role on each other's works. up in just a bit. One of the songs Joseph and I weren't able to speak about when we were talking about his new album, but Steve Lukather did the harmonies on this beautiful Beatles tune. So Steve got this question. First, though, one of the covers on Lukather's new disc, one that originally came from Joe Walsh on his 1974 release, So? I only, over the last couple of days, started reading the Gospel According to Luke.
Sorry about that.
No. Actually, I've yet to hear back from the publishers. I'm trying to get a future interview with you about the book.
Sure. We'll set something up. I'd be happy to do that for you.
Excellent. The reason that we were talking about the Who homage is the sound of that synth that you mentioned.
That was really one of the few synths that we used on the whole record. I didn't really use much synthesizer.
But then back to Welcome to the Club. Don't we have the Joe Walsh Life's Been Good sound mixed into Welcome to the Club?
Well, that was a song I played when I was a kid. I've been a big Joe Walsh fan since I was 1969, you know.
And
we're friends, and we worked together on Henley's first solo record, Dirty Laundry and all that. And I played with him live a bunch of times, but I've been a Walsh fan, diehard Joe Walsh fan.
Oh, sure.
And when we finished the record, I sent it to him. I said, what do you think? And he was like, man, amazing. He goes, it makes me want to recut my old stuff. He goes, I go, don't recut it. It's a classic. I'm trying to just pay an homage. And he really liked it. So I was thrilled about that. Because I love James Gang, Barnstorm, Joe Walsh solo, Eagles, all that stuff.
Oh, how can you not? Yeah.
How can you not?
With your take on Welcome to the Club, the wonderful thing about that, it has the feel of Walsh. I mean, of course, with that riff, how could it not? But it doesn't sound like Walsh.
I even played some of his licks in it, you know what I mean? It's an homage. You know?
Yes.
It's my tribute, you know, to my hero, and also my friend.
When you're doing something like that, how much right brain gets taken over by left brain activity, or, you know, the other way around? You know,
I only use the artistic side. I mean, I can't find my left hand.
Okay. Was Joseph the videographer? Did he do I Found the Sun Again?
Oh, yeah. No. Joe's the only human being outside of my nuclear family allowed in my house. He tests up with us every week.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And we're going to get our Johnson & Johnson jab here any minute now.
Nice.
Because, well, you know, I'm too old, too young. I didn't make the first cut, you know?
Yes. One of the nice things, by the way, about I Found the Sun Again, now we're talking about the linear flow to the album. This following Welcome to the Club, it lets a person relax a bit and really listen to the words and get these words. I often wonder, Steve, with one song or another, what lines were written first.
I was writing words while I was recording the song.
Do you remember what came to you first? The kind of thing that, you know,
first. The music always comes first.
Wow.
A song title, and then we go from there.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, with this live setting, as it were, that you had and when you recorded this, going back to Welcome to the Club, would this have been you on the acoustic and then coming in later for the overdub?
We cut the basic track, and then that was one of the songs that I said, no, I got to do a couple of things on this one.
Okay.
But I did it in the same time frame of a song a day.
Nice. Wow.
We got take two, so it was done by 11:30 in the afternoon, so I had the whole afternoon to add. I added a couple of guitar pieces, and we did the background vocals and the lead vocal, and it was done. Next song, next day.
If I fell in love with you, would you promise to be true and help me understand? 'Cause I've been in love before, and I found that love was more than just holding hands. If I give my heart to you, I must be sure from the very start that you would love me more than her.
You know, when I spoke with Joseph, there is one song that I was not able to ask about, and so you're going to get the overflow because it makes sense. That is If I Fell.
Oh, well, Joe told me it's one of the songs that when we were kids. Singing along that song taught you how to sing harmony, you know? That's one of the most beautiful pieces ever written, first off. And the harmonies are legendary.
Yeah.
Lennon and McCartney at their best early on. He just did it as a gag because he loved the song. And, you know, how are you going to better the Beatles? You're not.
Right.
You know? But it's an homage, again. He just said, I'm going to do it. Screw it. And then he goes, I want you to do the Lennon part. I'm going, oh, geez. Put some pressure on me, why don't you? And so we did it. We did it as a thing, you know. We love the Beatles, you know. It's not everybody's, oh, it's not as good as the... Everybody's always... It always has to be a comparison or a war against. It's either not as good. You know, whenever you do a cover, it's never going to be as good as the original, but you're inspired by it and you want to pay an homage to it. You know, that's why we did the covers record that people didn't understand.
Yeah.
We
wow.
just did it for fun, man. We're musicians. We love to play music, whatever kind of music, especially music from our childhood, which is what made us who we are now. So I'm just giving back. I hope Robin and Joe and Steve Winwood make a few bucks. You know, buy him lunch or something. You know? I don't know how many records it's going to sell. It's charting. It's doing well. But, I mean, by today's standards, or what standards? You know?
Right, right. No, exactly. The cover record you're talking about, that was Through the Looking Glass. This
yeah,
is
that
one
was
that people really ought to get.
From yeah. like early 2000s, you know.
Yeah.
The 25th anniversary. Oh, we don't have any music. Let's make a record.
Wow. One of the other covers on here, and this is the one that wraps up the album, Robin Trower tune, Bridge of Sighs.
Yeah.
Funny thing about this one is I know who I'm listening to and when I'm playing this song loudly in the car or wherever, but it's still the kind of thing when we get to your searing solos, I want to go back to the liner notes and say, man, who is this playing? Oh, my God. It's one of those types of solos, even though I know who it is that I'm listening to.
Well, I just tossed in Robin and Hendrix and everything else that I could think of, and that's what came out.
Wow.
I love Robin, you know, and I've always loved that song, you know. It's a perfect vehicle for what I was trying to do on this record. That was one of the songs that I thought, yeah.
This is actually one of those songs that makes me think of what you would have been playing live. You know, as far as you want to play hits, you want to play things that people gravitate toward. But then there are songs that you just love to play live, and that's what this one feels like.
I can't wait. You know, we're locked and loaded, ready to go. You just got to tell us when.
You do have some Toto dates that you mentioned. If a person goes to totoofficial.com, there are some...
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I don't know if those are going to happen at this point. I've heard...
Okay.
2022, no.
Okay. Oh, gosh. Okay, wow.
I mean, there's just a reality to it. I mean, if you look at the statistics and the numbers and the percentage of people that have been vaccinated, it's going to take longer than a few months to get the world vaccinated, or at
all
least
right.
most of the world anyway.
Absolutely.
So
Absolutely.
We can get a handle on this. You know, they're still working on it every day. Now they're trying to find another vaccine that prevents you from ever getting it, you know.
Yep.
I'm hoping the scientists are staying after school right now, you know.
Something else on this album of yours, I have read that a portion of the proceeds are going to the Ed Asner Family Center for Autism. Can you please talk about
that? No, I have an autistic son.
Okay, okay.
10 years old. I met the Asners through that, but Ed and Matt, his son, has two autistic kids, and, you know, and Ed's just a gem of a human being. I love him, and that's my new, you know, pet charity. You know,
Beautiful.
It's home. I was doing ALS when Mike Picaro was
yes.
dying from it, and their family is still continuing with that, but I have my own... My own cross to bear in my own family and a new fight to fight. I'm fighting it with my kid, you know. And the Asners are wonderful people, and I wanted to help, you know.
There's actually
I don't know how much money I'm going to be able to give them, but I'm going to give them what I can.
Oh, yeah. And if anything else, there's awareness because
yeah,
it is
and
still,
I want people
yeah.
to read it. They can send in 50 cents, you know. Whatever,
yep.
you know. It all helps. Autism is a weird anomaly because they're not sick. People go, oh, I'm sorry about your kid. He's not sick.
Yeah.
He's a really healthy 10-year-old boy. Really super smart.
Yep.
Just has a different way of communicating and a different way of interpreting what he sees. He sees in pictures instead of words. You have to learn, and no two autistic kids are the same, so it's really a Rubik's Cube you have to wander through. And when you get around other people that have the same issues, even though they're different, it's like a community. And if you notice, autism is really more prevalent than it's ever been, so that's a big question mark. How did that happen? There's a lot of conspiracies about it, but I don't buy into conspiracy.
No.
You know, I live the reality, so I love him. He's just Bodhi to me. You know, I'm used
yep.
to it, so it's not weird to me. But you know, as he gets older, it's more, when he's a little kid, he's just a little kid, right? If he
yes.
doesn't talk to you, he doesn't talk to you. But like, if you're an adult, it's going to cause him problems later, bullying or potentially a fist fight, you know?
Yeah.
Somebody doesn't understand. And that breaks my heart. I fear that. So autism awareness is very important to me, so that people can be like, hey, wait a minute, man. He's not like you, but he's not stupid. Okay?
That's phenomenal.
You know, nobody's perfect.
Autism is something that I'm fairly steeped in to a certain extent.
You are? Okay, well, then you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, there's the Autism Society through KVCR.
At the same time, you know, yeah. Hey, it's normal to him, it's normal to me. It's just a different kind of normal.
That's right.
I'm f***ing weird, too, so my son's weird like me. That's it.
Good. We need more of that.
Yeah, man, I love him more because of it.
I appreciate the fact that they're using the terms typical versus non-typical instead
right.
of, you know.
Well, everybody thinks it's sick. He doesn't have cancer, man. Jeez,
right.
That'd be worse.
Yeah.
You know, my son's alive and healthy, and he loves, and he kisses, and he hugs, and he laughs. So he's lower on the spectrum, but he's still got a lot of tics and things that are weird. And, you know, he has routines, but he's not, like, beating his head against the wall. And, like, who stole, you know, there's 1,000 toys on the ground, and you... one's missing and he
right.
knows what it is. It's not that bad. Jeez, that would be horrendous. I've known people who have to, you know, a kid has to wear a helmet.
Yes.
It's crazy.
Yes.
Sad.
Oh, yeah. And I'll be directing people to this during my post-announcement, but again, it's just I appreciate it on a personal level. It's just,
thank you,
you know,
man.
So
I appreciate you too, man.
That's all. Thank you.
Thanks for putting that out there. That's really important to me.
Oh, yes.
All right, man. Listen, I got a blow. I don't mean to cut you short.
No worries.
Anything else?
There are other things, but you know what? I'll save that for the Gospel According to
yeah,
Luke.
Yeah, yeah, let's do that.
Absolutely.
All right, brother. Thanks
right.
for your time, man.
Thank you so much, Steve.
I'll talk to you again. Look over and blow. Just look down in anger. Just hold tight.
It's been Steve Lukather for the entirety of tonight's KVC Arts, and with the exception of Toto covering Herbie Hancock's Maiden Voyage and the Beatles tune, which appeared on Joseph Williams' new disc, all the music heard tonight came from Lukather's new release, I Found the Sun Again. And because it was buried in conversation, and we only heard a small portion of it, to close us out, here's Steve Lukather covering Joe Walsh. Welcome to the club.
the symptoms, it isn't all you got. A shame you have found a cure. You didn't know the reason. You stopped to feel the rub. You know it isn't easy. Well, welcome to the club.
Steve Lukather covering the Joe Walsh classic Welcome to the Club, originally found on Walsh's album So, and one of a few great covers on Lukather's new disc, I Found the Sun Again. More at stevelukather.com, also totoofficial.com. More on Joseph Williams' new disc there as well. A reminder, too, that a portion of proceeds from the sale of I Found the Sun Again will be going to the Ed Asner Family Center for Autism. More on them at edasnerfamilycenter.org. And with that, we wrap up another edition of KVC Arts. Thanks again to Steve Lukather, Alan Rommelfanger of Daybreak Entertainment, and Steve Karras of SKH Music, providing management for Steve Lukather and Toto. Here at KVCR, thanks to Lillian Vasquez, Rick Dulock, and Sharina Wadd. Music beds and themes heard on KVCR is composed and performed by Sean Longstreet, so thanks to Sean as well. Find many past KVC Arts programs via podcast through iTunes, Spotify, and NPR One. And most past shows are at kvcrnews.org/arts. I'm David Fleming. Thanks especially to you for listening and for your support.